That was lively singing. I appreciate your kind attention during our last meeting. I know that we're all very warm. But I hope our hearts are warm as well. If our hearts are warm to the Word of God, our bodies are able to be uncomfortable for a little while. We trust the Lord will bless His Word in this second session. The pastor has assigned to us the subject of church purity. I believe he calls it the church's struggle for purity. The only way that anything can be kept pure is to have it separated. It must be separated from sin. It must be separated unto the Lord. Only then can God's blessings of purity be upon the local churches. Please turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23. And up through verse 26. God says in verse 23, to His earthly people Israel, and ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. And if you notice in that chapter 20, some of the things included incest, fornication. They included homosexuality. They included adultery. They included bestiality. And God says to His people Israel, you will have all these sins that they have unless you separate from them. God wants His people pure and clean. He wants them sanctified and separated unto Himself. Notice in verse 24, Leviticus 20, verse 24. God says, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess it. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Now notice these next words. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. God is a separatist. You must be a separatist. Your churches must be separatist churches. Why should you be a separatist? Because it's the only way to keep pure and clean for Jesus Christ. You lie down with dogs. You rise up with fleas. Now that's true. Notice the next verse in verse 25. He shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean. Between unclean fowls and clean. He shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl. Or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground. Which I have separated from you as unclean. Notice in verse 24, God has separated you from the other people. In verse 25, God has separated unclean beasts from you. All of Africa. And still even today, many in Africa make themselves unclean, those who worship the devil. Make themselves unclean with abominable beasts and fowls and creeping things and idols and worshiping Satan. And we have devil worship in the United States of America as well. We have Satanism in America as well. God says, I have separated you from that which is unclean. We must separate ourselves from everything that's unclean. Then we can be holy and pure as churches. Notice also in verse 26. Leviticus 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me. For I, the Lord, am holy. And have severed you from other people. That ye should be mine. When God severs us from other people, He picks us up. And separates us unto Himself. Praise God for the standing we have in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe that God's a separatist, turn to Genesis 1. We've seen it here in Leviticus 20. But look now with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. Notice the next few words. And God divided the light from the darkness. God is a divider. God is a separator. God is a separatist. You must be a separatist too. I must be a separatist too. To be holy as the Lord, we must be like the Lord. You still believe God is a divider and a separatist? Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. divide the waters from the waters. God is a divider. He divided heavenly waters from earthly waters. God is a separator. We must be separators. We must be dividers. Do you believe God's a divider and a separator? Look at verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from waters that were above the firmament. And it was so. God is a divider. God is a separator. Why should we not be dividers like God? God has a purpose in His division. We cannot be dividers without purpose. That would be sin. But we must be dividers with a purpose. Notice verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. God is a divider. He's a separator. He divided night from day. We must divide night from day. We who are God's people of the day must put off the works of darkness. We must be holy unto our Lord. And we must love our Lord with all of our spirit, souls, hearts, and
minds.
One more verse in Genesis 1. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now the fifth verse, verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night. And to divide the light from the darkness. And again, God divides the light from the darkness. God is a divider. God is a separator. Turn, please, to 1 John chapter 1. We see God as a divider here. We see here in verse 5 a definition of our Lord. John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That is very important to see. If God has no darkness, He does not want us, His children, who are saved, to have darkness. If God is light, He wants us, His children, who are saved by the precious blood of Christ, to be light. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You can also translate not walk with darkness. We have no business walking along with the darkness. Let the darkness find its own company. Let the darkness find its own friends. Let's walk with children of light. Let's keep company with children of light. Notice verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. What is a lie? Falsehood. What is a lie? A lie is falsehood. A lie is untruth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
and the life.
No man cometh to the Father but by me. Notice, if we say we have fellowship with him, that is communion with him. That is close friendship with him. And then we walk in our darkness. And we walk with darkness companions. We lie. It is impossible for us to walk with the light and walk with the darkness. What happens when I turn off all these lights? Total darkness, yes? Not half light, half darkness? No, not half and half. We see that God is light. Notice verse
7.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The power of the blood of Christ to cleanse from sin has never left. If we are to be pure as Christian believers, we must still go back to Calvary's precious blood. There's no other cleansing from sin. Perhaps you're here tonight and you have no cleansing from your sin. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior that died for you. I beg of you to trust him tonight, right now. Receive him by faith. Accept him as your Savior and sin bearer. And plead the cleansing blood of Christ of all your sins. And God will save you. God will give you eternal life. God will give you forgiveness of sin. God will give you a home in heaven. God will make you the Christ in you, the hope of glory. While we're here on this verse, there's a man in the United States who's teaching against the blood of Christ.
God in the United States,
he's a very intelligent man. He's a very intelligent Bible teacher. His name is John MacArthur. Way back in 1976, he wrote an article. The title of that article, which I have, is Not His Bleeding, But His Dying. I want to be sure we get that title. Not His Bleeding, But His Dying. In that article, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ cannot save us from sin. In that article, he says, The blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse us from sin. My Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible is right. MacArthur is wrong. But we have Christians in the United States that will not say that MacArthur is wrong. These are new evangelicals. Some of them even are fundamentalists. Some of them are even separatist fundamentalists. MacArthur is big. Big church. Big radio audience. Big offerings. 50 preachers on his staff. Thousands in his membership. But I want to tell you, my Christian friends, when any man, any woman, anywhere teaches against the Word of God, he must be exposed for what he is. He is a theological heretic. And he's leading many people astray. We still go back to verse 7. If we walk in the light, the Lord Jesus is in that light. As he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We must realize that God wants us holy and pure. In the Old Testament, we have separation. And we have in the New Testament we have separation. We realize that God the Holy Spirit is a separating person of God. Think of the very name, God the Holy Spirit. Holy. You know what holy means? In the Greek language, that word is hagios. The verb used is hagiazo. That word hagios for Holy Spirit, and hagiazo the verb, means separated one. One of the missions of the Holy Spirit. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit. One of the goals of the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our sinful bodies, after Christ has redeemed us, is to clean house. And that cleaning house implies every part of our body that's wrong and that's wicked and that's sinful. God wants us holy unto himself. And we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we allow unconfessed known sin in our lives. And we churches grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we permit known unconfessed, unrepented sin in our churches. Now, the doctrine of separation is a Bible doctrine. When I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas, I wrote a thesis on Bible separation. I wrote it from the Bible. I quoted 1,896 verses from the Bible.
All right. 1,896 verses.
My seminary rejected that thesis. My seminary is not a separatist seminary. Shame on them for that. They are compromisers. They send their preachers back into the National Council of Churches groups. They work with World Council of Churches groups. They're very well trained graduates. They're very suave graduates. They're very slick men. They have large churches. They're very clever men. In many doctrines, they are without error. But they laugh at fundamentalist separatists. We have three more sessions on this theme with you folks. Perhaps later on we will use some of these verses that we have written down. But tonight, in the time that remains, let's just define a few terms. Separation is divided into primary separation and secondary separation.
All right.
Primary separation is the first class separation. Secondary separation is second class separation. Primary separation is from unbelievers and apostates and false teachers. Secondary separation is from believers that are walking in darkness. The whole world of the church believers. The whole world of church believers is divided into probably two or three groups. The liberal apostates. Don't believe in any kind of separation except from us fundamentalists that believe the Bible. And they will separate from us, all right. The second group of separatists, in addition to the liberal modernist apostates, who are not real separatists, but false separatists, are new evangelicals. They will separate from unbelievers and apostasy, they say. But they will not separate from fellow believers that are walking disorderly. But the Bible teaches us we're to separate from unbelievers and apostates. And the Bible also teaches us we're to separate from believers, Christians, that are walking disorderly. We have a church on our street in Collingswood, New Jersey, which is a new evangelical church. Let me illustrate by telling you about that pastor in that church. I believe he's a disobedient Christian believer. He belongs and is a member of and a pastor of the United Methodist Church. My own mother and father, I'm sad to say, are in the United Methodist Church. Though I love my mom and dad, I wish they'd get out of the United Methodist Church. I must be faithful to the Word of God. But this pastor is in the United Methodist Church, which is led by apostates and unbelievers. Those in charge of the United Methodist Church, many of their leaders deny the virgin birth of Christ. The leaders of this United Methodist Church deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The leaders of the United Methodist Church deny the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The leaders of the United Methodist Church deny the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The leaders of the United Methodist Church deny the inerrancy of the Word of God. The leaders of the United Methodist Church deny the substitutionary blood atonement of the Lord Jesus on the cross. The United Methodist Church leaders deny the literal heaven that the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare. The leaders of the United Methodist Church deny that there's a real literal burning hell. What's that Christian preacher doing in that church? He ought to come out of the church. But he's in the church. Now, he's retired. Even though he preaches some sort of the gospel, he's pulling other Christians into this apostasy and the relationship with apostates. What's going to happen when he retires and a new man comes to take over? Who will his apostate leader send to fill the pulpit then? The danger of apostasy and being with apostates is serious indeed. The position of Scripture is that we should have no fellowship not only with these apostate leaders, but we also cannot have fellowship with ministers that are in these churches that are led by apostates. These ministers that are in apostate denominations are disobedient, disorderly Christians. There's a mixture here of light and darkness. God separated the light from the darkness in Genesis 1. And we must separate from the darkness as well. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 6. This is the norm for biblical separation. This is the standard for Bible separation. If every Bible-believing Christian would practice these verses, every one of them would come out of the National Council and World Council of Churches. And after these Bible-believing Christians would come out of these World Council and National Council Churches, those churches would fall flat. Shame on Christians that support the apostates and their religious groups. And praise the Lord for groups such as you groups who are out and separated from such apostate groups.
Amen.
Please look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's no possible way that you can yoke a believer and an unbeliever successfully. This is in Christian matters. I realize we have to go to people in the world that sell us food and things. But God is not talking about this. There's no yoke with that. You pay them so much, they give you a loaf of bread or something. But God is talking about an unequal yoke that's a permanent situation and mostly religious. It includes unbelievers in lodges and secret societies. That's an unequal yoke. We have no business calling a person a brother when he's bound for hell. We have no business calling a person a sister when she's bound for hell. It applies to religious affiliations in churches. How can I be a member of the same church where there are members who are lost and bound for hell, and maybe whose preachers are lost and bound for hell? That is a violation of separation. That is an unequal yoke. In the Old Testament, I believe in the book of Leviticus 22, God says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. An ox is a clean animal. An ass is an unclean animal. God doesn't want an ox and an ass yoked up together plowing a field. He doesn't want an ox and an ass sitting in lodges together either. And God doesn't want an ox and an ass in churches together. When God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, in the Greek language, this is in the present imperative tense. When you have a present tense in Greek, and you have a negative word or a no, it means stop doing something you're already doing. It means quit it. It means cease what you're doing. The Corinthians were unequally yoked with unbelievers. When God says, be not unequally yoked, He says, stop being unequally yoked. And this is what God's word teaches us. Notice also in verse 14. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Righteousness is righteousness. It's godly. Unrighteousness, unrighteousness. It's devilish. God is a divider. God is a separator. And God wants us to separate the light from the darkness and righteousness from unrighteousness. Also in verse 14, notice. And what communion hath light with darkness? That's Genesis 1 again, isn't it? That's 1 John 1 again, isn't it? There is no communion between light and darkness. They're separated and they're divided. Look at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is the devil. Belial is satanic. Christ and the devil cannot have any concord of any kind. We must separate from devilishness. Our churches and our people should separate from devilishness. Notice also in verse 15. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? A believer is one that's saved. An infidel is one that's lost. And there's no part between those two. Notice verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are born again
By the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in us. And God says we cannot have this temple which is His in agreement with idolatry. Notice also in verse 16, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Not this preacher. Not this Bible conference. Saith the Lord. That's message from heaven. Those are God's words. Let's obey them. And our time is up. And we'll start right here.